Father, we bow down to you this morning and just want to thank you for your grace and your mercy. We want to remember what you've done for each of your children, paying the price that we would not have to die. And you have commanded us, told us, rejoice in this, that your names are written in the book of life. And so, Lord, all the busyness, all of the ups and downs and the light and the darkness and the hot and the cold and the wind and the quiet and all of those things really mean nothing compared to the great gift that you've given us, and that is eternal life. So Lord, help us to have a heart for the lost, Lord. Those that even may come into our lives during this Christmas season, Lord, maybe more than other times or at least whenever, Lord, but may there be that great move of your spirit and our willingness to just show up, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we begin our prayers this week in the book of Deuteronomy. And of course, Deuteronomy was kind of a repeat in a sense, a summary of the law. And so we have some carryover and some dual reporting here in a sense between the book of Numbers and the book of Deuteronomy. And we have an instance this morning. And we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 3. And the question I have for you is, have you ever really wanted something really, really, really a lot, and you've been praying for it, and it doesn't happen, and you keep asking the Lord, and maybe at some point in time, you've heard the Lord say, enough of that? The answer is no. Well, Moses had a unique relationship with the Lord, of course, as he would be spoken to face to face, as we read in the scriptures. And we have here his asking once again that he would be allowed to go into the promised land. Now, they're flush from the victories of Kings Og and Sihon, very powerful kings. And after the almost 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God has delivered two mighty, mighty nations into their hands. So they've seen all these miracles. Moses has just seen the miracle now of the enemy being delivered into his hand like never before. And so kind of flush with that and having observed that and just maybe visualizing all of the enemies in the promised land that God is going to deliver to them, he can probably hardly wait. We have then in this desire here, his desire to, he asks the Lord one more time if he can come into the land. And I thought we would just begin today by singing an old hymn, Have Thine Own Way. Have Thine Own Way, Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I'm waiting, yielded and still. This was written by this lady. Her name was originally Sarah Pollard. She changed it to Adelaide, and there's a little bio on the bottom of your notes if you want to read it later. But when she was 40 years old, she was really grieved because she had wanted to be a missionary in Africa in such a tremendous way. She was born in 1862, and yet nothing came together. And so she was in a prayer meeting and just praying and, I'm not getting what I want and so forth, apparently. And an old woman prayed, Lord, it doesn't matter what you bring into our lives, just have your way with us. So maybe that's a message for you this morning as well. Let us pray this, let us sing this prayer kind of a thing here. Have thine own way, the words are on page 1. Have thine own way. So isn't that a good prayer? Fill us with the Holy Spirit, that all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Does that fit you this morning? I hope it fits us all the time, not just once in a while. Hope it fits me all the time, not just once in a while. Well, we are, as I mentioned, in Deuteronomy chapter 3, and in Numbers 20, we had Moses' transgression, so to speak, by striking the rock when the children of Israel were thirsty at Meribah, and that was a type of Christ, and we know Christ cannot be crucified more than once because it's a one-time thing, as we read in Hebrews chapter 10. But Moses got mad, lost his temper, misrepresented God, and because he misrepresented God, the one thing that he wanted more, I think, than at this point anyway in his life, more than anything else, was to go into the promised land. And yet he's told now, because you misrepresented me, Moses, you're not going to go in. A little later on, in chapter 27 of Numbers, it came up again, and God said, you're not going in. And now it comes up kind of the next time, and this is kind of a final time, because God answers him in a way that he doesn't bring it up again. So we read in chapter 3:21, starting out, after the kings Og and Sahan had been defeated, then the land east of Jordan was divided. And in verse 21, we read, and I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done to these two kings. So will the Lord do to all the kingdoms through which you pass. You must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. Then, and I think Moses is flushed now with just the amazing power of the Lord and what he's going to do. So he said, then I, Moses, pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying. And Moses was a man of prayer, so this is a powerful prayer, I'm sure. And the address is great. O Adonai Elohim, O Lord God, you have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. That's a pretty good way to start a prayer, isn't it? You have begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like you, your works and your mighty deeds? I think that's a great way to start a prayer, actually. Then he says, I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains, and even Lebanon. Verse 26, but the Lord was angry with me on your account. And we read that and we kind of say, what does that mean? We knew the Lord was angry with him because he misrepresented them, but why is it on the account of the children of Israel? Well, it's being an example to them. A disobedience of the Lord has great cost to it. And it cost Moses the opportunity to lead them into the land. And so as for the history and so forth, as they would go on, as the little kids might say, Daddy, why didn't Moses lead us into the land? Then the answer would be, because he disobeyed, he misrepresented God. So the Lord was, or but the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough of that. Has he ever said that to you? I don't know if he's ever said it to me, but there are times when I know it's enough. Enough of that. Speak no more to me on this matter. End of subject, right? When God says, speak to me no more on this matter, end of subject. Here's what you do. Go up to the top of Pisgah. We call it Mount Nebo today. That was really the peak of Nebo. And lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, and the east. Now notice, just a couple of verses before that, he said, let me cross over and see the good land. So God's going to give him half his prayer. He's going to let him see it, but he's not going to let him go in. So go up to the top of Pisgah, lift your land toward the west, the north, the south, the east. That's all around. Behold with your eyes. Behold it with your eyes. So you can see it, but you can't go into it. Behold it with your eyes, for you shall not cross over this Jordan. And, of course, we have read earlier in the studies of Numbers of Deuteronomy that the Lord preserved Moses' sight perfectly at 120 years old, You know, he couldn't stop by the optometrist on the way up the mountain and get glasses, right? Here he's 120, and he can see a long way, because when you look at the distance that he saw from that mountain, he was able to see it with his eyes, but he couldn't cross over the Jordan. But command Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, and he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you see. Now that is a powerful verse in a way, I think, because we have this given to us, this account, at the very beginning of Deuteronomy. And Moses doesn't go up and die until the end of Deuteronomy. So this whole book, in a sense, is kind of a spiritual, kind of a summary of his spiritual state, that even during these last days, when he's going to pour out all of the law again to the second generation, to the generation coming into the land, he knows he's not going to get to go in. Now, when you get really disappointed by not getting your way, and God tells you to get to work on it, would you kind of say, I'm out of here. If you're not going to keep me aboard, I don't care what happens downstream. I'm out of here, right? I mean, isn't that kind of the selfish way the flesh would act? But Moses pours himself into Joshua, pours himself into the people, not fazed at all by this very personal disappointment. So in your walk, in your faith, as you do what the Lord has for you to do, we need to keep our eyes on him and not put them on ourselves. Because ourselves will rebel, ourselves will look at it selfishly, and ourselves will want to leave the post. I don't want to be here anymore, Lord. If you're not going to hear my prayers, you're not going to let me do what I want, then I'm out of here. And that's the worldly flesh, isn't it? But that's not the spirit, is it? So we see then that he is faithful. Moses is faithful to the end, and he eventually will get to go up on top of Mount Pisgah and see the land before he dies, and then the Lord will gather him to his people. Father, we thank you for prayer. We thank you that you hear our prayers. We thank you for the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to your will, you hear us and you will grant us the petitions that we ask. We know that does not include things not according to your will, which is usually what we want. And so, Lord, as we pray this morning, much to pray for, such as precious special time of the year at the Christmas season. So Lord, lead us now in this prayer that we would redeem this time as you would lead us by your Spirit. So let us pray.